You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Wire.
Starling is an online journal which aims to give young writers a platform to have their work published and get it noticed by editors and festival directors who are hunting for fresh talent. Its fourth issue is released today and includes pieces on PJ Harvey and one titled House Sitting with Max Key. Starling was founded by poet Louise Wallace, who spends hours sorting through submissions for each journal. I spoke to Louise about the winter issue and why she decided to create Starling.
It's really a result of my own experiences as a young writer, just looking for opportunities to get published. A lot of the time you're competing against other writers who have decades of experience, and also journals like to go with writers with a bit of a name attached to them so that they can sell more copies of their journal, obviously. So there's just less space for emerging writers, just the nature of publishing. I really wanted to create something that would provide an opportunity with a bit more of a level playing field. So that's why Starling, the age restriction is that it needs to be New Zealand writers under 25 years old, and also that it's online, so there's no kind of restriction on where it can reach. So we're hoping that it can reach into the regions of New Zealand, and that it's also an opportunity for those outside of our main centres.
Who else is in the team with you, and what are their roles?
My co-editor is Frances Cook, who is a friend and also a short fiction writer. I met him while I was doing my master's in creative writing. So he helps me read all of the submissions and we select the ones we're going to accept together. It's helpful for me to be able to bounce thoughts off someone else. I've also got Marty Smith, who is a poet and also a high school teacher. So she is what we call our Starling in Schools advisor. And she helps me think of better ways to reach out to teachers and to help them use Starling in the classroom.
Each issue starts with the work of a more established writer. How do you go about selecting those pieces?
We really just try to have a think about who is doing something exciting at that moment, and also that we think young writers will be interested in reading their work. So we've just published our fourth issue today, and in this issue we've got Chris Teese, who is a Wellington-based poet, award-winning poet, and he's got a new sequence of poems inspired by the songs of PJ Harvey.
So what do you look for in a submission?
We're really looking for something that people can work on to when they submit to us. Is we like to look for work that uses detail and really specific descriptions. That's always present in the work that we accept. So that's something that people can keep working on. I would also recommend writing in your own voice. So try to think about the way that you speak and try to write in that way, if that's helpful. It creates a unique voice. So you sound unique and no one else can sound that way, so translate that to your writing. And obviously if we're reading, you know, hundreds of submissions, think about what is going to make your work stand out from everybody else's, because that's the goal. So is your work different enough that we're going to notice it?
Do you go through an editing process with the writers, or once they've sent it in, do you sort of just work on it from there?
No, so once we've accepted it, we have an edit of it. Mostly it's just grammatical stuff, but if we are making suggestions on slightly more major changes, we will go back to those authors and have a chat with them about that. We send all of our accepted authors a proof access before we publish it, so they have a chance to look at their work and make sure they're happy with any changes we've made, but also just the final product, and then we'll go live with it. But yeah, it's very much a relationship at that point where we're going back and forth with them.
Do you notice any trends in the writing that you receive, like whether young writers are looking to particular authors or kinds of work?
Not especially, but we'll often get submissions on a particular theme if there's something happening at that time. So for example, with the Anzac centenary, we got a lot of poems about war at that moment. And yeah, if there's something particularly topical. In this new issue that we're publishing, one of our young writers, Sharon Lamb, who lives in Wellington, she has a poem called House Sitting with Max Key. So at the time she was writing that was probably, Max Key was very much in the news. So yeah, we tend to see that kind of thing.
Why do you think platforms like Starling are important?
I just think it's important to provide an opportunity for emerging writers to come through, to give them a bit of a leg up into, I suppose, the more established writing community. I think that's really tough to break into. So that's the idea of just providing a space that kind of is a transition space for them. So we've had a few people who we received direct inquiries about to have their work published in Mana magazine and The Spin-off. So they've gone on to publish other poems in those outlets. But we're getting quite a lot of inquiries now from festivals wanting young writers to read at them. So Starling is a great place for those festivals to find new voices. So that's really exciting, and it's exciting for the young writers that people are noticing their work in this way. I think it's a really great way to showcase their work to people who might not otherwise see it, and those people are often kind of organisers of festivals or editors of other journals. So it's definitely leading on to those opportunities for the young writers we publish.
Does that sort of make you feel buoyed to get onto the next issue? And
definitely, yeah. Keeps us going. And the same when we send out our acceptance emails, we often get a huge amount of emails coming back, and also from people who haven't been accepted just saying thanks for the feedback and they're really keen to try again. And the people who have been accepted are just usually like so happy and excited that they've got the shot to put their work out there. So yeah, definitely in the periods where we're spending hours and hours of unpaid time reading, it definitely is kind of the light at the end of the tunnel and keeps us going.
Having read so many submissions, what would your main advice be for young writers?
Probably the main advice is perseverance. It was the same for me when I started. You're often rejected quite a lot, and I think we have around an 18% success rate, which is probably actually quite high for a journal, but it's still obviously not super high. You've got quite a good chance that you won't make it in, which can be disheartening, but it's just part of the game, and it's all about just keeping trying and bearing in mind that a rejection is not necessarily saying that your work isn't good. It might be that the editor even woke up and hasn't had their coffee yet and might have skipped past your work, or that it just might not be to their personal taste, or they have already got something quite similar to that and they've gone with the other option. So I guess what I'm trying to say is to take heart that you just need to keep trying and keep sending out your work, and that if you get a rejection from us, it's not the end of the road. We have someone that we're publishing in this new issue that actually has submitted, I think, two or three times prior. This time we accepted work from them. And so, yeah, it is possible, and just you need to just keep going and keep trying.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.